This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Treatment Room Podcast with your host, Tessa Zolli. You are in for a little solo episode with me today, which I'm so excited for. This is the first solo I've done all year and all season, so it's about time. I've really been missing doing them, but I have created a little bit of a new schedule with the podcast for now, which is uploading bi-weekly every 2 weeks. So every Friday, I schedule the episodes for Friday morning just because I feel like this year I'm trying to pace myself, honestly. And I love doing the podcast so much. I really never want to burn out on it. I mean, that point in time will eventually come, but I don't want to burn out on it anytime soon. And I know just having so many forms of social media going on, having Free Skin, which is my baby, my skincare brand, which some new exciting things are on the horizon for that as well. But that, taking care of clients, it can just be a lot. And I know last year I felt like I really maxed myself out. And this year I want to have a good balance of work and play and mental health. So that's kind of the reason just for uploading every 2 weeks. Let me know how you guys are liking that. And if it's been okay for you, are you like, I need an episode every Friday. I really, really want it. If you do, please tell me. But if you're like, you know what, I don't even get to all of the episodes. So every 2 weeks is good because I'd probably miss one anyway. Let me know also if that is you. But for now, I'm going to try to commit to just bi-weekly. You can count on every Friday having a new episode in your inbox. So without further ado, I want to get into some of the questions that you guys had for me. I posted on stories asking if anyone needed advice in regards to aesthetics, career, really anything. And I got some great responses. So I'm excited to dive into these and be able to answer you personally. And I'll be sure to do more of these if you guys like this style of episode. But if you're not following me yet already on Instagram, my handle is at @mysdtessa. And I think Instagram is probably the platform I am the most active on. I do post on TikTok a little bit. YouTube is something else. It's a whole nother beast. I'm trying to commit to that as well. But follow along, join the community, and I would love to answer any of your questions in the future. Okay, so the first question I got goes, hi, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I'm not currently able to return to the treatment room for another couple of years. Do you think it's possible to gain clients for virtual consults to go over their home care when you have no before and after photos of your own to pull from for advertising your own ability? Okay, I love this question, and I just wanna say this again, although I know I've said it before on many other podcasts and forms of social media, but I am just such a believer in the power of working on clients virtually. I think before COVID, estheticians didn't necessarily have to think about working on clients virtually. And I think we just didn't know how powerful it could be because we were mainly hands-on in the treatment room. But to see client after client clear and get healthier skin, and for me personally, not even having that hands-on element, it's pretty wild. And it's not to say in person isn't valuable. That's so valuable too. And the power of touch is so, so important. But I do think there are many people out there who may not be able to get into a spa, or it's just too time consuming for them. It's too difficult. It can be tough, depending on where you live, to get into a spa, to even find parking, or if you need to find childcare to get to that appointment. All of these things, right, that can be kind of barriers to entry. It is so cool to be able to provide people with an accessible, very viable way to treat their skin. And I think in person will always be so significant, but to be able to extend our services to people who couldn't otherwise come into our doors, I just think it can be so, so life-changing. And I've even been shocked at the transformations I've seen and witnessed, and I really wouldn't have known it was possible until I kind of had to do this because of the pandemic, but it's been something I've stuck with because for me, it's also a lot more feasible to offer services virtually. I think we don't always think about, like, what if something were to happen to our bodies? What if we were to get sick, injured, or even just burn out? And I think for me, there was a point in time where I realized I just don't have the physical body or energy as an immune compromised person to give the amount of facials that I would need to fill my books and support myself. And that was something I never predicted. Coming out of esthetician school, I was just so excited and so fired up. And then stepping into that role, I think I just soon realized, like, I have a little bit of a different reality than a lot of estheticians. And we don't always have, you know, an able body or a body that can perform at a high level forever. So I'm just such a believer in the virtual side of aesthetics. And now to answer this question, I think it's absolutely possible. And if this is you, if you're relating to this question, you're in this position, you want to offer virtual services, but you don't feel like you have the before and afters to show people, it's totally okay. I mean, we all start somewhere. I did not have before and afters to showcase my clients when I was just starting out. I haven't really talked about this much, but when I left the medical spa I was working at up until COVID, I made the decision, and I know this is what the spa I had worked at wanted, but for myself as well, I wanted this too. I started completely fresh. I did not take a single client from the place I had worked at. I didn't want to have that kind of conflict, and I wanted to start over completely fresh with fresh energy and just build my own thing from the ground up. So just having that experience to work from, I know it's totally possible. I had a much smaller social media audience than I do now. I mean, less than 1,000 followers. I did have other channels. I had YouTube before I had Instagram, and that was my main platform. And I spoke about this a little bit in the episode with Rhea from Bosses and Beauty. I'm just such a believer in having multiple outlets and not putting all of your eggs in one social media basket. So if you mainly rely on Instagram, I think it is time to think about what is another form of social media that you can use. People always ask, like, how many is good? I think it's as many as you can realistically maintain in a way that allows you to stay excited about each of them to some degree. Like, I think I push it a little too much with podcasts, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. But I think in the early days, especially when you have so much energy, capitalize on that. Like, start early when you have that fire in you, because us old SDs, like, we still have to market ourselves, but there is nothing like that fresh into the industry couple of years where you can really, I think, like, maximize your passion by sharing on different forms of social media. So I know it's possible because I did it without before and afters. I didn't even start posting before and afters, I think, for, some time, maybe like 4 or 5 months into my business and into working on clients. So it was not the main way I secured clients. I will say, when I started my business at that time, I had an advantage because it was COVID. People could not get into spas. So I started my business actually just because of that demand. I had people asking, hey, like, my skin is in shambles. I can't get in for a facial. Can you please help me? I'll pay you. When you have that kind of demand and momentum, I think that's when you have a little bit more peace of mind. Like, this is something people want. It's in demand. So, I mean, here's the thing about going virtual. You don't have to have this huge overhead where, you know, you're renting a space, you're renting all this equipment. It's a very low barrier to entry, low cost. So really, why not try it and see? I think something that is underutilized is just working on anyone in your circle who will allow you to work on them. Like, if you feel like before and afters are important, which I do think they are very important, it's a huge driver for people to book with me now, but it's not the only thing that will drive people to book with you, but I think it can only help if you start working on some people and kind of just getting familiar with the process of, okay, what is my flow when I bring on a new client? Like, how am I sending them their intake instructions? How am I collecting information from them? How am I going to instruct they take their photos? How am I going to be consulting with them? How am I prescribing the home care? All of these things, right? That seems so easy, but you really want to make yourself a little checklist and get comfortable in your flow. So I don't think it's a bad idea to work on friends and family, even if it is for free, or, you know, just people within your network, like even posting on social media. Would anyone be interested in doing a consultation with me? You could do it for free and simply ask that they allow you to purchase product and to share their photos. Or you could try, you know, offering consults at a certain lower price. I don't think it's a bad idea to charge something, because here's what I found. Whether it's $50, which was my initial starting price of consultations, or $300, the client who invests pays something, whether it's $50 or $300, always feels more invested in your program and more responsible and more just, they have some more at stake. So I think they're more invested in the process. And that is what you need to have good results when you're working on clients virtually. They don't have that accountability of, okay, I made it to the appointment, like, it's in the esthetician's hands now. When you are virtual, it is very much a two-way partnership. So I think the results you will get are a reflection of the individuals and their commitment to their skin. So that's something to keep in mind. But as far as the question, you know, is it possible to gain clients virtually? Of course, you could gain clients without the internet by going out into your community, by networking, by talking to friends. Everyone needs help with their skin these days. So you can definitely utilize your personal connections and network. And then the other half of this is like, we have social media. This is an unprecedented opportunity where you could literally reach anyone. You could gain clients for so many reasons. You could gain clients because you're talking in videos and people just connect with you and like your personality. You could get clients because you share valuable education. So many ways to connect with people online. So I would say don't look for the reasons it won't succeed. Just do whatever you can to connect with anyone and everyone out there who could be a potential client. But it really starts with putting yourself out there. And I think this might be what's hard to hear. Like, you do have to put in the time and the work to market yourself. It's not all just going to come to you. Even now, with years of social media experience behind me, if I'm not posting daily, the new incoming clients, like, those numbers slow down. So even if you have a lot to bank on, you have to keep it going. And if you're starting from ground zero with minimal social media exposure, you definitely want to work on that and make that just as much of a priority as getting new clients, because it is just as valuable. And that is the way you really plant the seeds. But it's kind of like the invisible, thankless job that, you know, people don't think about, but it's so, so huge. And it's something that really takes up a lot of my time. And I know a lot of other estheticians spend a lot of time marketing themselves and trying to show up on Instagram. And sometimes it can feel silly, like, this isn't a paid component of the job. Why am I going to put so much time into it? But it is really your representation of your brand in today's world that we live in. You have to have an online presence or you just really don't exist. So I would empower you to try to put yourself out there, to get more comfortable talking on social media and just showing up online. It's not easy. I still struggle with this to this day, but it's so important, and you never know who you can touch, who you can reach just by doing that. So that would be my best advice, just to really invest in getting some exposure for yourself, getting more comfortable talking on camera, showing up online. And I think you will be surprised, as long as you're sharing your offerings and you come across capable, intelligent, compassionate. I think when you are yourself and you share as yourself, you just will connect with people. And not every person you connect with is going to convert to a paying client, but it's kind of a numbers game. Like, you have to increase the volume to increase those chances of somebody signing up and committing to a program with you. But I hope that helps. I think it would be just a great way to support yourself as a stay-at-home mom who still wants to participate in the industry and make a difference in people's lives. But yeah, it's just going to take a lot of exposure and putting yourself out there. Okay, the next question says, hey, I'm a new follower. I was referred by a fellow Estee. I am a newly licensed esthetician, and I am looking for tips on how to find employment with no experience. Excited to listen to your podcast. Okay, so I have some advice here, and this is my personal strategy for finding employment. I have shared about it in the past, and I've had some of you tell me that you've had success from trying this strategy, which makes me so happy. It is actually the only strategy for me that has ever landed me a job directly. The only ways I've ever gotten jobs were through this method, or because I was at a company and somebody sought me out for employment. But most of my jobs have come from this little strategy. I have used it when I worked in media. I used it when I needed to get my first couple of esthetician jobs. So it has worked in a variety of industries. I've also shared this with some of my mentees and they have had success with it. By the way, I do one-on-one mentorship, coaching, ask me anything calls. I know sometimes people are surprised to hear that. So yep, I totally offer that. It is on my website. I will link it in the show notes if anybody wants to book a call with me. I would absolutely love that. But as for my strategy, okay, let me just preface it by saying this. I have had times in between jobs where I was seeking employment. I was on these big websites like Indeed, searching for jobs that I could maybe be a fit for, applying, writing a whole cover letter, waiting weeks, never hearing back, or you finally hear back and they're just like, we filled the position, it's not you. I have had true like depressive episodes and just dark times in my life because of this format of applying for employment. I know it's so frustrating. So many people go through it. It's just really disheartening. And it's not a good feeling to feel like you're one in a million and it's so hard to even get your resume seen. I never liked that feeling. So this little strategy came from a lot of frustration with that experience. I think it's kind of the natural thing to do if you're just feeling like, okay, I'm not being seen, I'm not getting job interviews I would want, what would I do instead? I would go seek out the actual job that I want and I would go for it directly. So what I would tell you to do is make a list, get a sheet of paper out. I think writing it down firsthand, like with a pen and paper, is the most powerful. I think putting pen to paper is so underrated and just it feels more intentional than typing in your phone. So I want you to make a list of, let's say, 3 to maybe 8 places or spas that you would love to work at. They have to be places you would love to work at. They should actually be places that almost feel too good, like places that would be a dream job to work at, like your dream job, the place that you walk past and you think, oh, I'd love to work there, but for some reason you tell yourself like, I'm not good enough, all of these things. Those types of places are what I want you to write down. And if you don't know of any off the top of your head, I want you to get more familiar with the industry around you. That might involve booking yourself a couple of facials. I think this is actually a great way to get a real taste of what it would be like to work somewhere because you will see the client experience and you'll feel the client experience and you'll get to be with an actual esthetician who works there. So you could ask them questions. You'll get a sense for their vibe. Are they happy here? What is their equipment like? What lines are they using? It's kind of a great, like, top secret way to get a sense for what a job would be like. Why not? Go book a facial. It's not illegal. You can totally do that. Let's take a quick break to thank today's sponsor, Pomp, who wants to help bring more clients in your door. Pomp's new Find an Esthetician feature makes it easier for more clients to find you online and build your books. Whether you're a virtual SD like myself or you offer in-person treatments, Pomp makes it easy to recommend personalized skincare routines for your current and future clients. Elevate your aesthetics business and check out the show notes for my personal Pomp Beauty referral link and let new clients discover you today. But yeah, I think if you're not familiar with spas in your area, you can go look on Yelp. You can look at, sometimes there's little articles like best facial in San Francisco or New York, those kinds of listicle articles, or you can walk around neighborhoods, see what catches your eye, do whatever you can, but spend the time to come up with a list of the most desired spas in your area. After you do that, after you have your list and you've kind of organized it by ranking, I want you to start reaching out and start with your first choice. I want you to send a cover letter with a little bit about you. You should attach your resume. And going back to your question, what do I do if I have no experience? Guys, this is where social media is. It is the new resume. That is such a valuable way for an employer to get a sense of your passion, your general vibe, your personality. So I would totally use it to your advantage. Start making videos you are proud of. If a company sees that you have the ability to market yourself and educate, that makes you such a valuable player. That is how I was able to get jobs at the best spas in San Francisco without ever having a previous esthetician job. I had a background that was literally not relevant at all. I worked in media, worked in magazines. Basically, I want you to start reaching out to these spas, introducing yourself, making sure your grammar is on point, you are polite and professional, you're not demanding, because who knows if anybody is going to read your email. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but if you are super polite and if you present yourself in a certain way, I think it's very likely that the spa will be very flattered that you took the time to directly seek them out and tell them why you want to work there, why you see yourself fitting in with their culture, what you have to bring to the table. So I don't think it has to necessarily be this huge, long, formal email, but essentially attaching your resume, giving them a sense for why you want to work there and what you can offer, and then include, if you can, some examples of yourself on social media. I think social media can be the new resume, especially for estheticians, because I really do think a lot of companies want to see that estheticians can market themselves and bring in new clients. For sure, there are some spas that might just be looking for somebody who is a highly skilled technician who has great hands, but a lot of spas are looking for estheticians who can bring in new business and market themselves. If you are doing that very well, it would almost be silly for a spa to pass you up. So if you're not the best in the treatment room yet, if you don't have the most experience, where you can really shine is in how you market yourself. This is how I was able to get jobs at very well-respected spas in San Francisco, where the estheticians had worked there for 5 or 10 years, and they were highly, highly skilled. I have been told in interviews when I was first starting out, you're very green, but I love your personality. I love your excitement and passion for the industry. Not every spa is just looking for a highly skilled esthetician. A lot of spas will want to hire employees who just have that magnetic personality that they know clients will love, because I really think that is half the battle. Like, who wants to book with somebody who has no personality, no vibe, no good bedside manner? Those are real skills within aesthetics that you can possess without having the best hands or technique in the treatment room. So I think where new estheticians can really shine is their ability to market themselves and just really highlighting your personality. And it doesn't mean you have to be the most bubbly person in the room. You can be attractive to clients for different reasons. Maybe you're just a great listener. Maybe you're super welcoming. Maybe you're super relaxed, calming. I think every esthetician has things about them that make them special and unique. So really just highlighting that. And here's the thing, like you're not going to be a fit for absolutely everyone. Some spas might want somebody who is really experienced, but I think there are just as many spas who want somebody who could be moldable and they can train their way, but they're just looking to see, okay, are they a responsible person? Are they coachable? Will they listen to feedback? Do they have a positive attitude? And how are they going to take care of my clients? So keep all of those things in mind. And then the last little piece to this email and, you know, seeking out these jobs, this is just what I've done in the past. You don't have to do it this way, but I've always said, you know, I would love to meet with you for an informational interview to hear more about, you know, your spa, what you offer. And that way it's not putting as much pressure on somebody like, I need you to have a job for me right now. It's just, I'm highly interested. I'm not expecting anything. I'm purely just wanting to learn more and connect with you. And I think when you take the pressure off, I think most good managers are going to take the meeting. And then you at least have one foot in the door and you're one step closer to your dream job. Now, it's totally possible they don't have a job opening, but in both situations where I've done this, in two spa jobs and in one media job, trying this technique, it has always ended in a job opportunity. I've actually also done this with an internship at a magazine that I thought I would never ever get the position. It was for an internship at GQ in Australia when I was much younger. But it was just an opportunity I really, really wanted. And I had to put myself out there and kind of be willing to just meet with them, see if we vibed. And I remember for that interview specifically, they told me like, there's nothing on the table right now. Like these positions fill up really quickly. They're super coveted. And I was just like, okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate it. Please just keep my resume on file in case, you know, something ever comes up. What do you know? 2 weeks later, I got a call from GQ and I started as an intern there shortly after. But it doesn't just work for internships. I've done this with spa jobs. I did this with The Hollywood Reporter, which was my first real job after GQ Australia. And because I had that internship experience, I was a lot better candidate for the job, having more media experience. But how I got that job at Hollywood Reporter, which is a film publication, it was also a cold email. I am dying to work here. I'm obsessed with your company, your magazine type of reach out. And I did that for medical spas as well. To me, it's just always felt more intentional. And I think when you put your genuine intentions into something and seek it out, I think a lot of times the universe just honors what is meant to be and that desire. So that is my recommendation. If you are out there in the job market looking for something, you can definitely try applying online with your resume. But for me, that never once has worked out. I don't know if it works out for other people. I feel like it's such a small percentage of people who actually land those jobs. So I think a really smart alternative is just to make sure you're polishing your social media presence, really make it look professional and work on that presentation along with your hands-on skills in the treatment room. But I think if you're building momentum, you're working on yourself, and you are not afraid to reach out to companies directly, I think a lot of times it can work out in your favor. And even if it doesn't, like from a hiring perspective, that is just always so impressive when somebody professionally seeks your company out and tells you why they want to work there. Like, to me, that's a much more attractive candidate than somebody who just applied online, because it shows the work ethic, it shows the determination, and that they truly sought your company out even without an active job posting. So it might not work in every case, but I think it's definitely worth a try if you are currently in the market looking for a job. So if anybody does try that and it works out for you, please shoot me a DM and let me know your story. Is it worth it to take a job at a spa that offers services you know you don't want to do in your career, i.e. waxing or lashes when you want to be a skin specialist? I'm not a big fan of staying in places or going to places or being around people who you don't feel totally seen and valued around. You don't feel like you're reaching your potential. I feel like that is the easiest way to drain yourself of your passion and happiness. And I just feel like life is too short. Like, unless you really are so desperate and you need this job right now for financial reasons, I would much prefer you hold out for something that feels like a higher calling and it's somewhere you could see yourself for years to come. Like, I think it just makes more sense to hold out a little bit longer for something that would fuel you and fuel your soul and put you on a better trajectory for your future. So that might be a little bit of a hot take, but I'd say don't take the job. If you really don't see yourself waxing or doing lashes, try to hold out for a skin job, because you can find one. They are out there. It might take a little bit longer, but I do think it is worth it, even if it takes a few more months, to put yourself in a position where you can learn and be doing the thing you want to do. Because once you get into a job, you guys know how it goes. Like, you're usually there for a little while. So why even start down that path? And I feel like if you're just thinking of starting the job and you still have time, if you're not completely desperate and you need to take this job for financial reasons, I think the better situation would be holding out a little while longer for something that just gets you really, really excited. Because it's so easy to take something that is right in front of you just because it's there and it's kind of sort of maybe what you want to do a little bit. But I think if you're already feeling now like you're not going to be doing what you want to do, it's not aligned, it's like a slippery slope to spending months or years of your life somewhere where you don't feel happy and excited. And I've done this, and I've learned the hard way. I took a job. This was one of my first jobs in aesthetics, where they were very upfront and they told me, like, you can work here, but we're just letting you know right now there's only one treatment room. There's five estheticians. So a majority of your job is going to be sales and retail. But, you know, as you spend more time here, there's more opportunity for you to work in the treatment room. And so with more time, like, you will get a little more time there. I was so just excited about the possibility of working at this place. I kind of ignored that little voice inside of me that was like, you don't want to do retail. Like, you don't want to do retail. That's not your dream. I ended up taking the job and I learned a lot of things there, and it was okay for me. But looking back on my career, I think I could have gone somewhere where I would be more hands-on, even if it is a chain, like a Massage Envy, a Hand in Stone. I think those are great places to learn where you are exposed to some good lines and you just get more experience working on faces and working on skin. I don't think it has to be the most bougie spot ever. If you want to work in skin, I would just look for an opportunity where you have some opportunities to touch skin. I think it takes like hundreds of facials to just start to understand skin. So I just think the more faces you can touch, the more skin types and conditions you can see, the better you're going to be as an esthetician. So that is my advice to you. Take it or leave it, because you know your situation best. But I would try to hold out for something that puts you in a position to learn more about skin. So I hope that helps. When researching topics in skincare, like acne, aging, pigmentation, etc., do you use online clinical studies? And if you do, what is the best website, in your personal opinion, to back up your research? Okay, so this is something I believe I learned in nutrition school. When it comes to sources, there's kind of a ranking of more credible to least credible. So the most credible sources, if you are like writing a skincare caption, something like that, the best ones are going to be the scholarly peer-reviewed articles and books. So you can look for peer-reviewed studies. You can look on Google Scholar. Things like that tend to be pretty legitimate. You can also look at trade or professional articles or books. I think that can be a really good resource as well. Something like a Dermascope is going to have very legitimate information from true skin experts. So I think that is a really good place to start. Sometimes you can also find good articles from more well-established companies that are sharing education, maybe like a La Roche-Posay or even Naturium has some good articles, and they will, at the end of their article, have links generally to peer-reviewed studies. But sometimes looking at an article like that can be a little bit more digestible as a reader versus just looking at clinical studies. Like looking at an article first might break it down for the consumer, and then they'll still have links to articles to back up what they're saying. So essentially, you can look at anything online and you can get different information from different sources, but I personally wouldn't publish or cite any information as true if it doesn't have a solid, credible source, like a peer-reviewed article. So I hope that helps. Okay, the last one I'm going to answer says, I want to go solo. I'm currently employed as a massage therapist, but I'm also an esthetician. I don't feel like I can grow professionally as an esthetician at the spa where I'm working right now, which is a long story. I have an opportunity to rent a room and I'm thinking of moving. However, money-wise, I'm not where I'd like to be, but I know I have potential to grow by myself because people really like my services. I do massage, skincare, and waxing. I feel like I have backups to help fill my schedule if I go solo. Okay, I mean, that is really awesome that you have both a massage and aesthetics license. I feel like I have no doubt you're a skilled provider. I definitely sense you're super confident and have the skill set. I think what I don't know about, I would ask you, do you feel excited about the possibility of becoming a business owner? And do you feel prepared to want to learn about that and also become a skilled business owner? Because I think you can be a great provider, but not have the business skill set and put yourself in a bad position. So I would think about, do I need to invest in more courses? Do I need to learn more about the business side of things? Do I feel prepared to market myself and create exposure for my business and grow a clientele? One thing about these suites or renting a room, they can be great because you're saving money, but you may not have the same foot traffic as a brick and mortar where people are walking by it every day. So is your space going to be hard for people to find if they're seeking out facial services? Like some of these salon suites, you would really never know about them because they're hidden away in a corner in a building. So if you don't have that foot traffic, what is the exposure going to look like for you online? And that could be fun to think about, but are you comfortable marketing yourself? Are you on social media? Do you already have a little bit of a following, a reputation, an audience that is interested in you and who would follow you? I mean, it sounds like, I mean, once you're getting that itch to leave somewhere, I think it's really hard to turn back. Like once you're kind of over something, I think we're over it. And I kind of get the sense you're going to leave at some point. But I would just tell you to, I think, start saving your money, prepare your finances. I would have several months' rent, more than that if possible, set aside. And if you need to wait a little longer and stay where you're at to start saving for that, I think that's okay. I would try to make sure you understand what the lease is going to look like and whether or not it is a feasible situation for you. And is it going to be profitable also? You want to make sure it can be profitable and think about what type of exposure and client list you would have going into this, which is kind of hard to gauge. I mean, you also said you have people who could potentially fill spots up with you. So I'm not sure what that would look like. If that would look like sharing the room, then you want to think about, okay, who am I co-doing business with, because that's energy and that can affect your space and your clients. So I would also be cautious who you're sharing the space with. What kind of contracts do you have in place for that? But maybe this is a natural next step for you if you feel like you have learned all that you can learn. If you feel like you're not growing there anymore, and I definitely know that feeling where you just know there's nothing else I could really possibly learn from this experience, I think that is a great indicator. It may be time to leave somewhere. It doesn't always indicate you are ready to be a business owner, but maybe it does. You really only know once you try. But I always just want estheticians to be really smart financially and put themselves in good positions where you kind of understand your odds and you feel confident, because it can be a tough economy and there's no guarantee you're going to succeed as a business. So you want to make sure you can be profitable and make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, because I think owning a business can look so easy on Instagram, but to have a returning clientele and continue bringing people back, I think is where a lot of estheticians can struggle. So even think about, how is your retention with your clients right now? I think that can be a good indicator, and it sounds like you feel really confident about that. So I think the other piece is just thinking about how you're going to market yourself, how you're going to bring new people in, how you're going to make yourself visible in this type of space, and do you have the finances, or do you need to wait a little longer to put yourself in the best possible position where when you're setting up your business, you have what you need and you don't feel extra financial pressure and stress. I'd put yourself in the best possible position to succeed, but only you really know if you are ready. I would also encourage you to continue to do some business education and marketing education. I think Reyes course really is kind of the industry standard for estheticians that are thinking of going solo or starting a business. So I also want to plant that seed the next time BBB, Bosses in Beauty, comes around, the next time Rhea offers it. I think you would be the perfect candidate to take her course, which I am currently taking right now. We've only had 1 week of class, but it's been so exciting to learn from her. And I'm just excited to go through it. But that's something I think every esthetician who's thinking about becoming a business owner, I really, really do think that class is something you should consider. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening another week. I love you so much. I can't even tell you guys how many sweet messages I've gotten lately. And I'm pretty open about this, but I don't think I'm like the best podcaster in the world. I can struggle with my own confidence, and it's scary to upload a recording for, you know, thousands of people to listen to. You know how there's that, like, you think you can hurt my feelings joke? I always think of, you think you can hurt my feelings? Podcast reviews are public, even though for the most part, they're very, very nice. But yeah, it's something that for me is a challenge. It pushes me to get out of my comfort zone. And I know I'm not perfect whatsoever, but it's something I'm committed to continually working on. And I want to inspire you guys not only by sharing educational information and tools that might help you in your career. I hope you also see somebody who's not a professional speaker, somebody who actually dropped out of public speaking the first day of college. That was my first class. I went to one class and I never went back because they told us we were going to have to share some sort of like embarrassing story with the auditorium in front of, you know, all of my peers. And that just scared the life out of me. I dropped out and I never went back to that class. But I always think about what if I had, and I do regret not trying it and coming out better on the other side. That is something I've always just thought about. What if that really helped me? But in some way, doing this podcast now for me is a little bit of like reckoning with that fear and doing something that does continue to scare me, that I know I'm not, you know, the best speaker ever, but I think we all have things that scare us and things we kind of avoid in our careers or opportunities we say no to because we don't feel like we're good enough, or we talk ourselves out of it. But I hope just me doing this and openly sharing, I'm not super comfortable even 4 years later recording on a podcast. I hope that inspires you with whatever fears are in your head, whatever you're thinking about as something that is like a limiting belief or a limitation on your abilities. I hope you try to do that thing, and I hope it just gets more comfortable and easier for you with time and you prove to yourself that you can do it. But I just wanted to say thank you so much to all the people who have been messaging me and just sharing kind messages that you listen to the podcast and it helps you. Like, it truly means so much to me. And to hear real people, like, it touches real people. That is the sole reason I do this and continue to do this and show up, even though I'm uncomfortable. But it just makes me feel so seen and makes me feel so special. So I can't thank you guys enough for tuning in week after week, some of you year after year. It just blows me away. And I feel so fortunate to have so many soul ties and connections with you guys. And I think it's just something that makes our industry so special. I love our industry, and I love connecting with women and men on this shared passion and just being able to share a little bit of myself with you guys and feel like I have friends and people who see me and get me and understand me and just like me for what I am. So thank you guys so much. I love you. I hope you like this episode. Please shoot me a message on Instagram and let me know what kind of episodes you want to hear this year. Are there guests you want me to have on? Are there any topics you want me to cover on my own? Let me know. My DMs are open. Love you guys so much. And I will be back in 2 weeks for another episode. Love you. Bye.